Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to have this wonderful privilege for you to come down in this hour to lead your children, O God, to transform us, O God, by the renewing of our minds, to teach us, O God, your ways. And as your children, Father, we want to thank you for your life that's living in us and your attributes and your characteristics, which are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that they live in your children. Help us, O God, to understand better our place in the family. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday we took two messages on the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of his personality. And we show that God changes not. And therefore his personality cannot change no matter what vessel he comes to live in and to express himself through. Now with that in mind, this morning I would like to look at God's sovereignty again and the family strain of attributes that he has and that live in his children. This will be number 80 in our series from Brother Ram's sermon, The Unveiling of God, and number 14 in our mini-series, Dealing with the Sovereignty of God. In order to begin, let's go to the book of beginnings, which is the seed chapter of the Bible. And we'll begin at Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And here we're going to be shown that the law of reproduction states that every seed must bring forth after its own kind or nature. In other words, a seed of a wheat plant must be wheat, and therefore it will look like wheat, it'll smell like wheat, it'll feel like wheat, etc. And this law of life, or this law of reproduction, is across the board for every form of life. Therefore it is the law of life. And so we hear God say, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. And that's the key right there, is after its kind. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. That's why Jesus could say, by their fruits you shall know them. Now let's follow up with what Jesus says here in John 8:44, where Jesus is speaking to the most religious people of his day, which were the Pharisees. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. In other words, he's saying the law of reproduction says every seed will bring forth after its own kind or nature, and therefore, by your very actions, it shows who your father is, whose seed you are. By your fruits you shall know them. He continues, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. Going back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, we read, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, before we go any further, I want you to note that Cain's sacrifice was totally a scriptural sacrifice. It was Deuteronomy 26, the first fruit offering. And remember, the Pharisees were the most religious people. They practiced what they preached. I mean, they you know, you couldn't find fault with them. They studied the word day and night. It was told, and I've heard this said, that they could put a pin through the scroll and they could tell you every letter that it fell, that passed through on its way through the scroll. Now, that's knowing that word. But they didn't know it. See, they had it up here. And they're so into knowing the letter of the word that they didn't see the life that it was speaking of. So we see that they were religious, and Jesus said they were of their father, the devil. And so we want to go back to Cain and look at this attribute, family strain, because that's what we're talking about today. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain offered, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, he didn't bring it to the devil. He brought it to God. Now, before we go any further, I want you to know that Cain's sacrifice was totally a scriptural sacrifice. It was Deuteronomy 26, the first fruit offering. And it shall be, when thou shalt come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessed it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy hand, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give to us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. That's exactly what Cain did. All right, a first fruit offering. Now go back to Genesis 4 and 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Well, Abel did not do Deuteronomy 26. All right? And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why did God have respect unto his offering? And he didn't have respect unto the first fruit offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. What did they talk about? Their offerings. All right. They talked about why was yours accepted, mine wasn't. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? See, he's a liar and the father of it. So Cain worshipped God before Abel and offered sacrifice even before Abel did. And Cain's sacrifice was a much prettier sacrifice than Abel's bleeding, dying, bloody lamb. But Abel had a revelation from God and Cain did not. Hebrews 11 and 4 tells us, By faith, which is revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than of Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, if Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain's, that means that Cain's sacrifice was an excellent sacrifice. Because if one is more excellent, then the other is excellent. Right? That just explains itself. So that means the Cain's was excellent, but not as excellent as Abel's. Now it can be noted that Cain's sacrifice was a first fruit offering, which was a resurrection offering. This was followed up by Cain naming his firstborn son Enoch, knowing there would come a son of God who would be raptured up by the name of Enoch. Genesis 4:17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And of course we know that son of God that was raptured was also named Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam. Genesis 5:19. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him up. So he walked 365 years, which is a type of our walking 365 days a year. All right. Now, in Matthew 23:25, Jesus lays it hot and heavy on the Pharisees, letting them know that no matter how religious they are, the very fact that they are denying the Word made flesh among them shows that they are of their father, the devil, and as seed of the serpent, they must also act just like him. And how is that? Well, he was very religious. He worshipped and made sacrifice to God and led in the worship, etc. In fact, as we have already read this morning, that Cain offered sacrifice to God even before Abel ever got around to it. So he was very religious. In Matthew 25, we read, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Well, what's he saying by that? Every seed after its kind. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now this morning we're going to continue in our study of Brother Graham's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And I would like to present just four quotes from his sermon to begin our study. From The Unveiling of God, paragraph 37, Brother Graham says, "He came as Son of Man, the prophet done exactly. Even that little woman in all of her sin there at the well, she recognized him. She said, 'We know that Messiah is coming, which is called the Christ. That's what he'll do.'" See, she recognized because she was a predestinated seed. Then she, where the rest of them didn't recognize it. They had nothing to recognize with. They were instant to begin with. So one had something in them that they could recognize, and others had nothing in them to recognize.
Right.
You see? Jesus said, "Why do you not believe my word? Because there's no word in you." All right? From The Unveiling of God, he said, this was a part of his way. This is the way he manifests himself to us. He manifests the eternal word, God, Jehovah, made flesh. Like in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and in the beginning was Elohim, and Elohim became the Word, and the Word was Elohim, and the Word was made Elohim. See, it's the same thing, just unfolding. Like the attributes, see, it is in God. An attribute is your thought. God in the beginning, the eternal, he wasn't even a God. He was the eternal. He wasn't even God. God's an object of worship or something, see? In other words, in the beginning, it says Elohim, it doesn't say God. All right, uses the word Elohim. Later on in Scripture, he identifies himself as the Lord, which is the word Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim. All right. See, so he wasn't even that. He was Elohim the eternal, but in him was thoughts. He wanted to become material. And what did he do? Then he spoke a word, and the word was materialized. And that's the whole picture of Genesis to Revelation. There's nothing wrong. It's Elohim materializing so he can be touched and feel. And in the millennium, there's Elohim sitting on the throne, amen, that's right, with all of his subjects around him that he predestinated before the foundations of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I think many times about the situation where we're just going to be sitting there in the service and whatever. And you know, here's the thing. Today, to get people to come together like that, in this bodies of this death would be impossible. You've got this on your mind, you've got that on your mind, you'd rather be fishing, or you'd rather be hunting, or you'd rather be, you know, at your job or doing this and that and the other. Forget it. On the other side, you will be in a euphoria. In the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. You're not going to want to break out of that fullness of joy, let me tell you. You're not going to have a hard time sitting there because your backside's not feeling too good. You're going to be full in a euphoria, in a state of fullness of joy. No pains, no aches, no hunger, no thirst. It's just going to be, all he says, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then from The Unveiling of God, paragraph 54, Brother Brown said, "So the Greeks couldn't see him because he was hid from them in a human being. Notice his word to them, 'Except this corn of wheat fall into the ground, God veiled in the form of a man, hid himself from their view.'" Notice, God in the form of a man. But in that man was hiding. So what was hiding him? The vessel. All right. "God veiled in the form of a man, hid himself from their view." They could only see a man. They could only see the vessel. But those predestinated seed seeing God, those predestinated seed could see past the vessel. One saw man, the other saw God. See? And it was God veiled in a human being, making both of them right, but your faith in that, what you don't see, you believe it anyhow. God veiled in a human being. He was in that flesh, and that flesh was his veil. The veil was rent, see, that God might be made manifest. Now, Brother Brown makes it very clear that there are two groups of people, those who are predestinated seed of God, who do not look at the vessel that God uses, but rather they see the same personality of God through the very character, the very nature of God in that vessel. As Brother Vail said, get your eyes off the vessel and onto the God who's using the vessel. Now, Brother Brown preached the sermon, God is identified by his characteristics, and only the true spirit-filled, predestinated gene seed of God can see the things of God, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. By the way, is the font large enough for everybody? It's okay? All right. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So without the Spirit of God, you won't know. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the man that is not born of the Spirit of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He can't know them. He says he can't. Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, Spirit-filled, judgeth all things, that he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So we see these two groups Paul is mentioning here. We see the group who are given to know and to understand, and the other group who cannot know, nor can they understand the things of God. So because they cannot understand, they inadvertently end up looking to the vessel only. You see that problem? You understand what... I know you do. You understand the problem we see in this message. People got their focus on a prophet, on the vessel, and they don't recognize the parousia of God.
Yeah.
It's not about the vessel. It's about the God that used the vessel.
Yeah.
All right? Now, this is the identifiable attribute of a believer versus a seed of God versus non-seed.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but we're teaching the truth. This is what the Bible says, every seed after its kind.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees didn't see it was God in Jesus. They just saw the vessel. They knew he was a prophet, but they didn't care because their fathers had killed the prophets.
Yeah.
Now this is, listen, you know, I just pray if I'm wrong, the Holy Spirit would correct me on that. But this is what the Scripture says. Paul calls him the natural man, the unregenerate man. That is why in times of testing they fall away. For every son that cometh to God must first be tried and tested. And so God puts them to the test by allowing that vessel to make human mistakes. Like forgetting some details of what he's talking about. Or getting some dates of events mixed up. And since they cannot see God, and because they look only to the vessel, then when God allows that vessel to make mistakes, because Brother Brad said, I can make mistakes, but this word can't make a mistake. They don't understand what he's talking about, because they believe he is the word.
Right.
As Billy Paul said, there's a front sight and a back sight. Back sight and front sight. The Word of God, the written Word of God, and the spoken Word. These people don't see this. They see only this. They're nearsighted. They say the spoken Word is the same as the written Word. they say there's no difference. There is a difference. This is an explanation of this. This is a manifestation of this. But the man that speaks can make mistakes.
Yeah.
But this cannot make mistakes. It's already been over the ages proven.
Amen.
vindicated. And God will vindicate that word. But God doesn't vindicate an individual.
Yeah.
It's His word. Otherwise, Brother Brown would never have lied to the lawyer when he called. You see, that was not God incarnate. That was God using a vessel. Now, every son that cometh to God must first be tried and tested, and so God puts them to the test by allowing that vessel to make human mistakes. Like forgetting some details of what he's talking about. We all know Brother Brown did that. Getting some dates of events mixed up. Yeah, we know he did that too. And since they cannot see God, and because they look only to the vessel, then when God allows that vessel to make mistakes, they jump on the mistake and they say, gotcha. You made a mistake, therefore you are not of God. And that's what they've done. Many have fallen away from this message. Well, Brother Brown said it was on, you know, it happened in this date, but actually it happened in this date. You know. Well, the cloud was actually this date, and Brother Brown said, you know, he was up here hunting on this date. But Brother Brown was actually over in New Mexico doing something else. Human error. If I were to ask every one of you to recall what you've done for every day for the past 20 years, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. That's why in politics, you know, that's what they try to do. Those lawyers, you know, they're keen, they're sharp, you know, they look for you to, they want you to start talking. Once you start talking, they say, well, you said this here, and over here you said this thing. So therefore you lied to us, you're going to prison. That's why the best thing is just say, hey, I know nothing. You know, like Sergeant Schultz. Hillary did it, she got away with it. I don't recall. Now this group does not understand the things of God, therefore they do not look at the motive and the objective of that vessel that God is using, but rather the perfection of that vessel. And let me tell you something, there are none of us in this body of this death has a perfected vessel. And thus, since no man is perfect, they conclude that the man is not of God. But those who are spirit-filled do not look at the vessel. They look only to the supernatural characteristics of God, the God who is using that vessel, and they latch onto that vindicated life. That vindicated word. Now these spirit-filled believers are ordained to life. And being spirit-filled, they know and they understand the things of God because they're living it. Jesus said, we'll come and manifest ourselves to you. How? How do you manifest yourself to a believer and not to an unbeliever? Because I'm manifesting in you, and you'll see it. So these spirit-filled, they know, they understand the things of God, so they do not look past the vessel. Excuse me, they do look past the vessel to the God who's using the vessel, because they see the spiritual things of God identified in the ministry of that person, which are the identifiable characteristics of God. Now, from paragraph 106 to 109, Brother Brown's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, we read what he said concerning this law of reproduction. In paragraph 106, he said, now, in this, God foresaw and predestined a world of sons and daughters, and he predestined them to be there. Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean now? See, if you were intended, you see the Word of God, you believe it, because why? There's something new. See, now why? Have you ever heard of a strain in a family? A son will kind of impersonate his father or a mother or the grandfather or the grandmother. That's strain in the family. You've heard of it, haven't you? Well, that's the same thing from predestination. You were supposed to be here in the right way at the beginning, but being that you come the way that you did, you're subject to the fall. But being that you're predestinated to hear the word, and it brings you right back where you were predestinated from. Amen. Never saw that before. It brings you right. And what makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things is because there's something in you way back yonder that you are made to live here forever. Why? When you keep trying to run away from God, He keeps bringing you back. Huh? Because you're made. And this word is supposed to change you back. All right. Scripture for that preacher. Well, here it comes. All that he foreknew, he called. All that he called, he justified. All that he justified, he has already glorified. What's the use of preaching, Brother Bram? There's a crop out there. Only thing I'm doing is saying. I'm just throwing it out there and see where it goes. If the repellents, the grease of the muck of the world denominations throws it off, I can't help it. But if there's one out there that can absorb it, he will turn to be a son and daughter of God just as sure as the word. Amen. Because it's predestinated. That's the reason that God could work his works through Jesus. He was a predestinated son. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before 100 billion, trillion, million years ago, that he said in Genesis 1:11, spoke of a while ago, he was right then predestinated to take his place. Amen. That's the reason, the will of the Father he did. He was the Word made manifest, and every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation. And that's the ones that was predestinated. So you can't expect a non-Christian to act like a Christian. Now, they might, like the Pharisee, do certain things that you do, because Satan can impersonate anything. But you can't expect them to have that life that is consistent and true. You just can't do it. They can put on a show. Now notice Brother Bram saying that Jesus could not help but to manifest exactly what he was ordained to manifest. And because every seed must bring forth after its kind. Then if that is so with him, and then it was so also with the seeds of the serpent that Jesus spoke of, then the law of life, or the law of reproduction, says that every seed will, and in fact, must bring forth after the nature of the seed donor, or the one in whom the seed came forth from. And that is the law of reproduction, that every one of us can be no different. Therefore, God has set forth a great drama that has unfolded in this hour, just the same as he has unfolded a great drama in the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ. So when Brother Ram says, and every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation, and that's the ones that was predestinated, he is saying that if we are sons of God as Jesus was, the firstborn son of God, then there are certain strains that run in the family that must be identified in each and every son of God. In Romans 8:2 we read, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, what was he talking about? This is the law of sin and death. The flesh. But the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes this. And it brings this into line. So there is a law of life that Paul is speaking about here. He calls it the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we're looking here at the law of life, the life that was in Christ Jesus actually being fulfilled in us. So we see that this law of life concerns the Spirit life that was in Christ, but of which has come into us after it was released from that vessel of the firstborn son on the day of Calvary. And that life has come into other sons, and namely us, that it also might manifest itself in our flesh. Now you see, what makes us different from all other men depends on who your father was. If you are sons of God, then we will have God life dwelling in us. And if so, then we will manifest God life attributes in us as well. And if we are born of the Spirit of God, the same Son of God life that was in the original Son of God seed that manifested in his flesh is now in our flesh and is waiting to manifest that same life in us. Now I've got a chart which from a book that I did back maybe 20 some years ago. And it shows the attributes of sons of God and the attributes of serpent seed. And you see that many of them are the same. They're religious. They worship God. They pay their tithes, their offerings. They bring their offerings to the Lord and all these other things. But there's certain attributes that are specific to each group. Maybe if we continue with these thoughts, and we'll bring that out in down the road here, maybe fairly shortly. Now, the same God, the same Son of God that was life, that was in the original Son of God seed that manifested in his flesh is now in our flesh and is waiting to manifest the same life in us. That's what Jesus said, if you're a believer, which means that, and he said, no man can call Jesus Christ except by the Holy Ghost. So if you're a believer, if you got the Holy Ghost, the works that I do, you'll do also. Because by their fruits you'll know them. Now, it's important to understand the source of the seed in order to know what attributes to look for in that seed. We've already shown that what Jesus said about the Pharisees, in that they claimed to be God's seed, but their own actions manifested what life operated in them. We also hear John tell us in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested. See? So this word of life is a seed which the sower sowed. And John tells us, for the life was manifested. Now I want this to soak in. The life was manifested. In other words, the Son of God's seed life that was in the firstborn Son came into manifestation, and as a result, John says, and we have seen it. And bear witness to it. And do show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now how can we show it unto you except it be in us to show it? So if that life was with the Father and in the Father, then when it came forth from the Father, it came forth as the original seed, which was Jesus Christ, God's firstborn Son. That which we have seen and heard, in other words, that which we have seen is the actions of the God life in the vessel of the firstborn Son, and that which we have heard are those words which that firstborn Son spake. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And remember, St. John 5:19 and 5:30, we hear Jesus say, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then verse 30, and I can of mine own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So the things he hears, he does. The things he sees, he does. Okay? So what's he doing? He's actually watching God act out the role of Son, and then he steps into the role of Son. Again, John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Therefore, what I want to show you in this verse is that I want you to see how the very life that was in the Son of God manifested itself. It manifested itself in complete obedience to the Father's commandments. Again, in John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So he did not speak without knowing what to say, because he was dependent upon his Father to know what to say, and that is exactly what he then said. For the life was manifested in the chosen vessel of the original seed, Jesus Christ, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and do show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. In other words, the very purpose of the manifestation of that Son of God seed life is to witness to the life that was manifested in the body of flesh called Jesus Christ. And John goes on to say, that which we have seen with our own eyes, and we have handled with our own hands, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as Brother Branham said in his sermon, The Spoken Word is Original Seed, paragraph 83, all God's sons must be the same. Why? Because it's God's life in you. If you're a son of God, then it's because God's life is in you. And if God's life is in you, it'll do the same thing in you that it did in him, in his firstborn. All God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again, like John 3. See? To be born of the water and spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See? That's the reason of Christ's death. Bring us right back again to where? Sons of God. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over here to play the part of a whore. Now the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him or in His presence, in love having predestinated us, past tense, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So we see that we have already been predestinated to manifest Son of God's seed. Now the Apostle John said, Cain was of the wicked one, therefore he could not have been from Adam, for Adam was a son of God. Therefore, we must be able to see that Cain manifested something in him that was not manifested by Adam or Adam's children. We then need to look into the source of Cain's manifestation to identify his nature and thus his source. Both of these children were religious, as all the way down through the ages, both twins were religious. Then the question should come to our mind, if every seed must come forth after its nature, then the source of both seeds were in themselves religious. Jesus himself makes this distinction in John 8:38. He said, I speak of that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. In other words, Jesus is making the distinction before the Christ-rejecting Pharisees that they are manifesting different attributes than what he himself is manifesting. They answered and said unto us, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. That's Genesis 1:11. Again, the law of reproduction, every seed after its own nature. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We are not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. Now wait till this message makes its way out into the world with all these crying, mamby-pamby millennials. And they will say, well, Brother Branham said, a woman's place is in the kitchen. They will now turn the attack on all of us for standing one with that vindicated prophet of God. Or when in marriage and divorce he said, these adulterous women aren't worth a good clean bullet to kill. And they will say, see, he's a murderer, he's a killer of women, he's a hater of women, just like they say about Paul. Notice it says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So what seed is it that wants to kill? Because the person tells the truth. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Remember, hearing means to understand. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now watch what Jesus says next. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of unbelief? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth, understandeth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now here we see that Jesus identified the origin of these men by identifying their behavior with the source of that behavior. I want you to understand why the law of life is so important for us to understand. If you understand the law of life, you can't be deceived. Mm-hmm. And you can't understand the law of life unless you've got the Holy Ghost, because you can't understand the things of God without the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You see, when Adam was created in the image of God, and God is the Word, then Adam came forth to manifest God's Word. Then when he and Eve listened to the lie of the devil, it wasn't just a matter of her listening and then going away, but she entered into that lie and she allowed herself to receive the seed life of the serpent. And that seed life injected in her, produced in her a life contrary to God's own life. It all began by opening the womb of her mind to the word, which is contrary to God's own word, which said every seed after its kind. That's why The Bible doesn't say that Eve was raped by the serpent. It says that she was seduced. Now, seducing has to take place first in the mind, and then the body yields to that seduction. A rape, however, bypasses the mind and goes right to the act. All right. Notice, it all began by opening the womb of her mind to the word, which was contrary to God's word, which said every seed after its kind. So what was produced in the womb of her mind became manifested in her womb, and it broke the nature and the pattern of the nature of God in his offspring. Now remember, Brother Branham said in the spoken word's original seed, he said Jesus was the pattern, he was the example seed. That's from paragraph 91. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism, and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same thing that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. In other words, when you say, you know, people say, well, he just wants to be like Jesus. Well, absolutely, if you're Son of God, you do. He's a pattern. He's the example. If people criticize it, it shows they don't want to be like Jesus. They want to eat, drink, and be merry. Now notice he said the same seed will produce the same works. Why? Because the law of reproduction states that every seed must bring forth after its own kind or nature. See, what we're talking about is a strain of God or the strain of the devil. There's family strains. Notice, okay. Then Brother Bram says in paragraph 92, see where it's at? See? That's why I believe the word, it's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. And of course, he's quoting Genesis 1:11, the law of life. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do we do? Make a million more in 44? Baptists, Presbyterians, and whatever more? Pentecostals? But where is that manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? I do nothing till the Father first shows me. Where is that kind of seed coming from? The Holy Spirit will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water's for. If the water falls on you, you say, well, bless God. Let me tell you something, preacher. I'm so-and-so, and I don't believe in that stuff. You're the denominational. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's what kind of seed was planted. You see, when Eve listened to the devil's story, she partook of that lie, and the life of, or nature of that lie, and that seed life entered her and manifested in her body the very nature of the lie itself. And what did it do? It produced fruit. What was that fruit? Cain. Brother Brown said, in order to commit adultery, you have first got to agree to do it in your mind. And that is what she did. She listened first to the devil's lie. The seed of that lie entered into her. She then became one with that lie, and then as a result, she became one with the serpent who presented the lie to her, and as a result, she received his seed into her. Notice the wrong nature came in, and its progression here. Now, on the other hand, we see in 1 John, or John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, the ability to make the right decision, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the Baptists would tell you this means that you were a hog and God gave you power to become a son of God. So you can change your species. But that is not what it says here, because that is contrary to the law of reproduction, which says every seed must bring forth after its kind. Therefore what this says is, but to those who were born with such a nature as to receive him, these are the ones that God has given an ability to make a right decision and to accept the role that God has given them in sonship. For this same apostle wrote in 1 John, verse 3, beloved, you are already sons of God. You don't really know it, but when he shall appear and manifest himself in his true nature, you should be like him. For you shall see him as he truly is. And in seeing him as he truly is, you will begin to see who you truly are. And then you will begin to align yourself with the one who you truly are. Now from his sermon, God revealing himself to the people, Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, the seed here is the seed, the word. The Word of God is a seed. Put it into your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there, water it by faith, and praise every day, thanking God for it. All right. Now, in order to be able to distinguish between the two of anything, we must have a way to categorize them. Since the law of reproduction states that every seed must bring forth only after its own kind, then we have a principle that's laid down. And that principle is this: if every seed has a life within it, and every seed can bring forth only after its own kind or nature, then we must look at the nature of these two trees which were not planted and see what their nature tells us about them. So then, when we read from the spoken word as original seed, where Brother Branham makes such an emphatic statement concerning our being predestinated, we can see by the law of reproduction that predestination is not God pushing you through a tube, but predestination can be expressed by the law of life that says every seed must bring forth after its kind. A seed has everything in it that it ever will have need of to begin with. And as we have seen, according to Genesis 1:11, every seed must come forth after its kind or after its nature. Then the very life and nature of the thing that the seed is to be is already in that seed to begin with. But the seed must be planted in the right ground, and then it must be watered, and then it must be laid in the presence of the sun to ripen. And that is the same way with us. We are predestined to come into the image of God's firstborn Son, who came forth in His image. As Paul says in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, that means to be determined beforehand, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. So, if you come to that place of glorification, which one day you shall, that means that before you could be there, you had to be justified. Before you could be there, you had to be called. And what was the calling? Before the foundation of the world. So, if we are predestined to be conformed to an image, and yet we are not shoved through a tube, then it has to be like a seed. Therefore, God places in you before the foundation of the world everything you will ever need to bring into manifestation, that image that He ordained for you to express. But like all seeds, you can't do it on your own. You needed the seed life in you, and you needed something or someone to quicken that life in you. Therefore, the image is not left up to you because you are predestined to a certain image, and the quickening is not left up to you, but it is God who quickens your spirit by His Spirit in you. In John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. Are you a son? All right. John 5:21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. So the quickening is not up to you, but up to the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. As Paul says in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So it's His Spirit in you that quickens. Therefore, I hope that you can see the importance of God pre-planning your destiny and making sure it goes according to His plan by implanting His seed life in you and then quickening it to you, quickening it to life by His own Spirit, and then watering it by the washing of water by the Word. Therefore, we can honestly say if God doesn't do it, it won't be done. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not you performing, it's Him. We also see this in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. And finally, and listen, if you're having trouble with seeing a manifestation of John 14:12, just come to the place where you just guide yourself so that His will, He'll be willing in you. Because once you're willing to reflect John 14:12, then God can turn to doing. Mm-hmm. All right? And finally, in closing, we'll read from the book of Acts 17:28. For in Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. And if we are His offspring, that means we sprang off from Him. Thus the family strain of attributes and characteristics run in the family. For by one Spirit We are all baptized into one body, and that one Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That one Spirit doesn't act different in you and different in you. He acts the same. And we've proven that through this series on the solitary God and the sovereignty of God. And next week we're going to show you how it is God, His sovereignty, that brings you love, that brings His love to you. It's His sovereignty that brings His grace. It's His sovereignty that brings His mercy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, that You are the same, You change not. And we thank You for Your great plan, Father, that before the foundations of the world, that when there was nothing to interfere, You laid out Your plan and You spoke it, Lord, and then You predestined that seed that was in Your mind to come into this earth and to be watered by Your Holy Spirit coming down to do it. And that You entering into us, you brought on the willing, and now You'll bring on the doing. And we're just committing ourselves completely to You. And we love it, Lord. This is just wonderful. And so we just thank You for all the blessings that You've given to us, and all the future things that You will have us to do, and You are working through us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has full and complete control of everything? And all we have to do is just one thing the Apostle Paul requests of us. He says, you just got to die to yourself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living anymore. That old man's dead. But the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the same revelation the Son of God had. Amen. The Son can do nothing of Himself. But when He sees the Father do that, do it the Son likewise. Well, let's just say now, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded.